What's going on, everybody? Happy Labor Day 2021. It's a happy Labor Day for some of us. For some of us in the distance over there, it's not a happy Labor Day. Gooch, I had to twist his arm to get him on camera at all. We had ourselves a little bit of a rough Saturday, at least in the beginning. You know, you got caked all day. Like, that is just, you're red, but you can't tell on camera. I don't think you could tell.
I'm feverish.
You got some poisoning.
Sweats, chills. Yeah, I'm fucked.
You got some poisoning. Good job, Rutgers. Rutgers gets the job done, though. They score 61 points the other day on Saturday with Shop Sports in attendance, and it was what it was. I'm glad we got to meet all of Jimmy Palumbo's people. Those people were awesome. The tailgate itself was pretty nice. Did a lot of unnecessary shots. But we are here live on a Monday morning on Labor Day 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch. And, of course, AJ is not here with us today. He's nursing. And when I say nursing, he's, I guess he had too many. And that's what happens. But it is what it is. I was madder. I was a little angry this morning. But now I just, like, whatever, man. Like, we want people that want to be here. So if you want to be here, give me a call. We're looking for interns. Also, we're always adding people because this week's a big, big week. We're obviously previewing the NFC West today and tomorrow. And then, of course, Wednesday, our big, big preview show. And then Thursday, the NFL kicks off. So definitely excited about that. Nervous about that because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the Cowboys. We'll get into that in a little bit. First and foremost, the most important thing, the most important event of this weekend is Cantlay winning the FedEx Cup. He won $15 million. I would be remiss because...
Right. Two questions.
Sure.
Who is that and what sport?
Okay. So, it is a golfer, and he beat out John Rahm for this cup. Won $15 million. My brother told me that was the prize in second place. $5 million, so a $10 million drop off. But we were watching it yesterday, and the Yankees were on, the Mets were on, and he's like, "You're not watching golf?" And I'm just like, "No." You know, he gets in the house, and it's almost as if somehow, some way, I don't know how this happened. I'm the older brother, right? But like when he comes in, the TV gets turned, right? He sits at the head of the table, like my father on one end, and then him on the other. I don't know where that actually started, but I'm just like, it should be my spot, right?
I think it started with just him coming in, asserting his dominance on the TV, and then the rest just followed suit.
Right. No, but I'm saying he's always sitting at the head of the table. And I'm just like, well, maybe where did I go wrong?
Then he asserted his dominance long ago in the relationship.
I guess I sit next to my dad, though, so I'm like closer to him, and I can have a conversation with him as we talk, and then the rest follows suit. But anyway, good weekend. College football is back. We're excited about that. A lot of crazy good games. The Delta variant is weak, according to somebody. Notre Dame, way important than the FedEx Cup. Yes, I'm going to get into Notre Dame right now, as a matter of fact. So the comments are coming in. We want to thank you guys for watching on this Labor Day.
So I don't know who that is on Facebook, but the Delta variant is my fantasy football team name.
That's
so
amazing.
That's somebody that's in my league talking shit.
Oh, all right. So they're not talking about
COVID itself. And
well,
also,
that's good.
The Delta variant is... definitely not weak in terms of fantasy football.
Oh, all right. Well, that Delta variant was good. That draft was good.
Yeah,
I mean,
do you like
all your drafts so far, or like some?
There's a couple that I out of all the we'll say this. I would say I have about 50 guys rostered in
between
roster
all.
Spots. There's like four or five spots that I'm like, I need to improve there, but overall, I'm favored to win every single matchup that I'm in this week so
far. That's good.
Every single one. So all five.
I heard,
according to the site's prognosticators.
Gotta love those things. I did hear through the grapevine because Devlin had said it. He's in like 15 leagues. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, you gotta, that's a set it and leave it, right? Like,
yeah.
Set it and not even watch.
First of all, if you're in more than two leagues, you need to be a set it and leave it guy. Maybe pick one league that you actually give a shit about, but you can't sit there and root against your own players.
Right.
And specifically, just first of all, what I do, I set my lineups across the board. I watch the Packers and I root for their interests across the board, and it doesn't matter which guy I'm playing or have in fantasy because those stats are going to be there. Just root for your team. That's
yeah.
the easiest.
I'm sorry that you didn't get Aaron Jones. I know you were trying to get Aaron Jones, but you did get every draftable Cowboy across the board. So there will be heavy Dallas Cowboy influence from Chris Gucci on his fantasy team. So that's on you, huh?
Of course. Yeah. I'm definitely rooting for the Cowboys offense heavy this season.
Let's go. 100%. See, I knew it was only a matter of time.
We got Dak twice, CeeDee, and then Cooper, and then Zeke in one league. So,
well, you said Zeke fell to eight, and I'm just like, that is criminal.
That's why I was like, all right, Aaron Jones went seventh. I took Zeke eight. Okay, I'll take that. And I did get I did get Gibson on the way back. So
you had Zeke and Gibson?
Zeke and Gibson.
Good night, folks. Yes. Good night, folks. That's a wrap. So FedEx Cup happens last night. So I guess I'm the only one. Gooch did not watch Notre Dame and Florida State. I was just excited to see it. It was kind of interesting how they scheduled it this year. I guess they can do that on opening weekend when there's no NFL. They put Notre Dame and Florida State in primetime on a Sunday night. I watched it, caught the end of it, actually, because I was watching AEW All Out because, you know, wrestling. Why not? You know, saw a lot of debuts, you know, I know you don't give 1 ounce of a shit about it, but like saw, you know, Bryan Danielson come back and you see CM Punk in action. That was fun. But yeah, I'm probably talking to nobody when it comes to that.
There might be some people out there that are, if you're trying to talk to me, you're definitely
I can't talk to you about wrestling.
I have no idea.
There's people out there that still, you know what it is? I think there's a lot of closet wrestling fans. Like nobody wants to admit it. Like they'll like all my statuses when I put it up in Chop Sports about like, hey, Brock's back. And it was like 30 likes. And I'm like, I knew you guys are out there. Like they're there. You're just not talking about it. But yeah, Notre Dame FSU, great game. Notre Dame had this in the bag to me, and then they just blow a lead. Florida State comes all the way back. Milton, I can't remember his name. He leads. There you go, Scoop. He's doing the yes, yes, yes chant. That is a Bryan Danielson thing. But anyway, so they blow the lead. My biggest gripe with this game is the way it ended. And it was right before, obviously, he sinks the thing in overtime, sinks the field goal to go to overtime. Overtime in college, awkward rules. I never really liked them. They changed it this year where I think on the second possession, you got to go for two. You used to have to like score three times before you were forced to go for two after a touchdown in overtime. So last night, Florida State gets the ball first. Now, keep in mind, this kid is lighting up the scoreboard. He comes all the way back. Milton McKenzie, thank you. He comes all the way back, right? And this is where I even Kyle Kerms, the Sauce, who actually posted about this, took a video. He's quick. That's why I do like this kid, Sauce. You know, like he's quick with the videos and the breakdowns because there was a play where I can vividly show you what the deal is. Quarterback gets the pass, gets the snap, drops back, looks one way, comes back, throws it, tucks it here, and when he gets to about here, the ball is knocked out.
No, I saw it?
Kyle Kerms. All right, so you saw that play. Is that just legitimately the tuck rule that got brought back to life last night? Because that, to me, is a fumble, 110% a fumble. You looked. You went like this, and you wanted to tuck it back because you didn't want to throw it.
So then he comes back this way, and then
the ball gets knocked out.
I think it's a fumble 100%. Anytime the ball goes backwards, I don't give a shit. It can't be an incomplete pass if it goes backwards by rule. So it's not even really like it's that unclear to me. Like that's clear as day. It's not even that confusing of a play. What did they end up calling it?
An incomplete pass.
Yeah, that's just a wrong call.
But here's the thing.
I don't think it's because of the rule. Is there a ruling that they made it? What did they say? How do they describe it?
Well,
at first it was a
fumble recovered, right? And then they went back and reviewed it, and then they turned it over and said no, it was a forward pass. And I'm like, why? Like that? No way! Like no way! This was I honestly looked at it side by side with the Brady one. This is worse than Brady.
A forward pass has to go forward,
but this ball went backwards.
Well, that's my point. So it's not a forward pass. Just even if they want to call it's a pass or a fumble, even if it's a pass, it's still backwards.
Correct.
So it's a fumble.
Even if you take the ball, right? I could try to demonstrate this.
I think you take the ball and
you throw it behind you. That's a fumble.
Kyle in the comments.
Yeah, he just did.
Described it. No, in his post, he described it perfectly. Like even if it is a forward pass in terms of like, say he turned and threw it. If it still goes behind the line. Behind the line of, I guess.
Scrimmage.
No, not scrimmage.
What are you talking about?
Because it has to be on the plane of the which
line
you release
of, the line, like yeah. a like a Music City Miracle when you have to go behind the line of where you're throwing the ball. Yes, and that's what happened. And for them to come back and turn that ball around, first of all, you froze your own kicker too in that moment. So they froze the kicker, got drills a 50-yarder. Right? No. Timeout. We're reviewing the other play. They review it. They move it up. Kicker misses the field goal. The next one. And I'm just like, boy, like, and I was rooting for Florida State. No offense to all my Notre Dame fans out there. when that kid came out, comes out and he's starting to light the world on fire, you know, that kid, Milton, I was like, all right, give this kid the dub, you know, like he's going to earn it. So after that, Notre Dame gets the ball. They kick a field goal. They win the game. It's over. You know, Notre Dame obviously is supposed to win this game. They're the ninth ranked team in the country. So the fact that they blew this lead is mind numbing to me. And it just, that's the way it crumbled for them. It really sucks. Yeah, some guy,
Coach Kelly, fucked up.
Oh my God. I've never seen. Yeah, we didn't execute. I'm going to execute some of these players. It's like,
all,
what?
No, I'm pretty sure he said all of our players. It's like, wait.
At
now, me personally, I don't give a shit. You know, everybody knows that. Everybody's going to be on his guy's ass.
Oh my God! I mean, for him to say that he's going to execute all your players,
he'll be fine. You want to know why? As long as they win, he'll be fine. But if they lose and they fuck up, this could come back and bite him.
That post game interview felt like a loss. You know what I mean? Like, we just didn't execute. You know, that was a bad game. And it's true, because you feel like, I don't even know where the sauce had his bet. So I don't know if he was getting upset with the Florida State thing. I don't even know what the spread was. Again, I caught this game late, but the ending was just, it was awful. Awful ending. I mean, good for, if you're a Notre Dame fan, sure, you won the game.
Pretty sure you had Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Somebody in the comments was like, not here, but on the Facebook thread, said it was, it should have been grounding. I said, what? Like, no. Intentional grounding is when you literally have nobody around you and you throw it away to get an incomplete pass. He was trying to tuck that damn ball and look another way. That's a tuck. And knocked it out. Game over. You know, or not game over. Play over. Oh, boy. It's an old John McKay quote about execution. Well, I didn't know that, but in any event.
Yeah, I heard it. That was his.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. You literally said you're going to execute your players. So it really doesn't matter. So other than college football, you know, Rutgers gets their win. I was very excited to see a lot of our CHOP athletes do their thing. There was a lot of cool moments. I know Tyreek Pitts. I'm thinking NFL already. Tyreek Pitts takes a long one to the house. A couple of these guys had some big days. Pecorella was punting the ball over the place for Maryland. You know, I was excited about that. It's
Alabama boys.
West Alabama doing boys doing work between, Bebe and McDaniel. So a lot of these kids are doing work, and it was really humbling, not humbling, but like just a proud papa moment at one point, because we're trying to help these kids out in their either final years of college, but some of them are brand new. So it was cool to, do you need me to come on the show and talk Notre Dame? No, we don't actually. I don't know who that is. I
don't know who you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of these comments are coming in from Facebook user friggin', you know, with numbers behind you.
I don't give a shit about Notre Dame.
Listen, Notre Dame is polarized and they're definitely going to be in the news every week, and that's fine. But this game, 1,000% should have lost this game. And if you're a Notre Dame fan this morning waking up, yes, you're 1-0, but how good do you feel about 1-0? You almost blew the entire thing. You almost blew the entire thing, and if it wasn't for a bad call and you iced your own kicker, you would have just been keep playing. Because if a field goal is made and then you kick a field goal, you're going to keep going. So I'm not talking about Notre Dame anymore.
College football season ends this week for me.
No, NFL starts
on Sunday.
You can't say that. NFL starts on Thursday.
No, that's where I'm at. I watch college football. Don't get me wrong, but it's all about the NFL for me. No question.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. The NFL owns the day of the week. Speaking of NFL, there was some shitty news if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, and it comes in the form of their starting right guard, the first or second best guard in football, however you rank him and Nelson, but Zach Martin tests positive for COVID. Now, the issue I have with this is, A, he's probably vaccinated. I don't know the status of everybody. You don't have to like raise your hand if you're vaccinated. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to tell anybody. But so if the NFL is taking the COVID thing seriously again in 2021, like they did in 2020, you know, there are the protocols are a little less this year. If you're vaccinated, you get tested once a week. If you're not vaccinated, you get tested every day. So Zach Martin test positive. He's now ruled out for the Bucs game. To me, that's not fair. You know what I mean? Because look, if he tests positive and you know you're asymptomatic and you can't, like, it's so confusing, bro. I can't get into this COVID shit again. But I'm thinking if the NFL is as strict as they're gonna be while pulling stars out of the game, this is only the first thing to crumble because you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to continuously happen throughout the season. I think the Dolphins just lost their left tackle for this week. You know, so this is going to continuously happen throughout the year.
As long as it doesn't happen in Green Bay, I'm good.
But that's what I'm, but yeah, well, it's going to happen in Green Bay.
It's going to.
So here's the thing. You either weather
the benefits, though, of playing in a smaller city.
Yeah, I get that. But like, the problem is if the NFL is taking this serious, which they say they are, right? Then you shouldn't be packing 65,000 people in a crowd. That's it. You know, like if you want to take this all the way serious and you want to start taking players out, notice how last year nobody really missed any games. I mean, they catered to Lamar Jackson, truth be told. They moved their game six times so he could play in one of the weeks against the Cowboys, nonetheless. You know, if you're going to take this serious, then you can't have it both ways, is what I'm saying. I'm all for it. It's money. This whole thing is money.
If you're going to try
fans in the stands,
if you're
going
to try and make sense of any of this, you're going to just find yourself frustrated the way you are right now, which is why.
And like, I know I'm more frustrated because it's my team. Yeah, I get it.
But the more I go down the rabbit hole of the whole COVID thing and why this and
yeah,
not
yeah,
that
no,
and
I get
and
it.
Then it gets me frustrated. But that's why I don't, because
it's hard not to. And so what? So now as an NFL fan, as a Cowboy fan, right? Am I supposed to sit there and say, man, I hope Tom Brady is close to somebody on Tuesday night, right? And then, oh, he's out.
Honestly?
Am I supposed to root for people to get COVID now? Like, is that a thing?
I don't know. This could get real dark.
Right? That's what I'm
especially
saying. I don't want anybody
sitting,
to die.
With me sitting across from you where I don't believe in, like, a lot of the whole karma things. Like, yeah, I don't give a shit. But at the same time, some people, COVID's a little touchy
again. So I don't want I'm not trying to remiss it. I've lost people that I've known to this thing. All right, I'm not even trying to sit there and downplay the disease itself. I'm trying to downplay that the NFL doesn't give two shits, okay? Because yeah, that you can't tell me you give a shit when you're putting 70,000 people in the crowd, but you're going to take Zach Martin out of the lineup because he tested positive. So you're telling me that every single little mother effort.
See, I don't know exactly how COVID is going to affect the Packers this year. It might be really in a good way because they might play a bunch of teams that have a lot of guys that get pulled. So
it's a competitive
I'm going to reserve my judgment on the
Fine.
Whole COVID
I
protocols
totally.
Until because look, it might work out for you in the long run too. It could be Chase Young is out because he was next to somebody with COVID, and you might not have to deal with that. You know, so
it's a new world we live
yeah,
in.
Yeah, let's just see how it plays out.
It sucks. It sucks. You know what I mean? But
yeah, the last thing I want is one of my fantasy players to get COVID.
That's another thing. What about this? Ready for this? What about the gambling aspect of things? You put your bet in today, right, for the Bucks to win by 8.5, and you go heavy, right? You go heavy
well, I
on
think
the Bucks.
That's why it's called fucking gambling, though.
But I'm saying, like, how, like, is that, should they have a COVID rule where if Tom Brady were to not play,
no,
that spread goes
say,
the other
I
way.
I would say no based on the fact that say you make a bet and then the first play of the game, the star quarterback breaks his leg. You know, they're not like, oh, they, you know.
Yeah, but this is pregame.
I get it, but it's still a gamble. So if you bet a week early, you're factoring in the fact that anything could happen in practice.
So you want to bet at kickoff.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, typically, unless you really like something and you think it's going to go another way, you know, that's why it's called gambling.
It's rough. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Dina Simpson said it best. The pick bish herself, not that one, that one. You should be able to cancel a bet if COVID is a factor. I think that's legitimate. You know, if one of your main guys goes out like that, Zach Martin being out, I feel like gives another point to the Bucks.
I think Scoop said it even better. Vegas doesn't give a shit.
There it is.
Facts. That's what we got, people.
Yeah, Vegas don't give a shit. You're right. You're right. So maybe I'm even wasting breath right now saying like, oh, they should have different underlying facts. Vegas wants your goddamn money. So that's
also not true though, because what Kyle's saying is true. There is a competitive market now. So a lot of these sports books are giving your bets back if you want. If there is a crazy thing that happens, they'll give you the offer, because if you're not betting there, you could be betting somewhere else. And if they're not giving you what you want. So, yeah, I understand why they would do that, too.
All right.
So Vegas does give a shit, Scoop.
I think, actually, there's a sportsbook thing right here. Sportsbook, we're giving us refunds, bets during the NBA season. That's what you're watching. Star ruled out before. You can get the voided. See, that's the way to do it. I mean, if there's a certain sportsbook, which, lo and behold, folks, we have an announcement. Not done yet, but sports book, big time. Big time news coming up. Hopefully before friggin' Thursday. I would love to have everything in line for the NFL season. But, yeah, so that's our COVID speech for the day because, I mean, it's just every day it's something else and it stinks. But that's the new world we live in. That's what McCarthy said in his press conference when he announced that Zach Martin had COVID. He's like, this is the world we live in now. Like, this is the kind of shit that you're going to have to weather the storm and get it done. So is what it is. So today we're previewing two NFL teams today. I don't even know if we should throw it to break. I mean, we're just
roll. I want to get the fuck.
just want to roll. Let's roll. Jimmy, let's roll right into it. It is, in fact, your 32 teams in 32-day coverage with two teams today. As I look for, yep, overlay's gone. Can't even find it. This is sponsored by. Well, that was the sports update. I was actually looking for the sports update. We're not even doing that because Lord knows we don't want to talk about the Yankees losing to the Orioles again because I can't do that. And don't look now, everybody, but the Mets are back in the picture. The Mets are way back in the picture, scoring a whole bunch of runs yesterday. And so
what
now
you're going to start saying in baseball season now, I'd be like, it's only August. Like, as if
I guess
it's only
really,
late August.
It's only September.
It's only September. Like, we still have a shot. It doesn't matter how far out you are in these times.
It really does. I mean, the Mets have made up a bunch of games. A couple teams are reeling.
Hey man, the Yankees can't fucking capitalize on playing Baltimore. Ooh.
And Baltimore might lose 100 games. It's unbelievable. You know, how do they not? These are the guys, and like, Haney's got to go, man. I can't talk about this too long because I want to throw myself off a bridge.
Let's talk football. Fuck this, man.
Yeah, we'll get right back into the football. All right, so we're going to start with the 49ers, which I know is near and dear to some of our listeners' hearts, including another Gooch, which is Carl's team. Not sure if he's listening or watching today, but today is your day, my friend. I'll pull up the San Francisco 49ers as we continue. We're going to wrap this up basically tomorrow. We'll do the 49ers and Cardinals today. We'll do the Seahawks and the Rams tomorrow. And then on Wednesday is our big preview show. We're going to take a little bit of time tomorrow to go through the entire schedule, not on the air, but we'll go through the entire schedule. We'll give you our big season predictions. We have to tweak a couple because obviously the records don't line up according to the win-loss records that we've been giving these teams. So we'll get a nice big graphic. AJ will get on that when he's back from his sabbatical. And, so we'll start with the San Francisco 49ers. So this is the most interesting one because, obviously, Jimmy G not being there last year threw everything off. You know what I mean? Like, he gets hurt. There's a million things, a million factors. They wind up shit in the bed and not winning any more games after he's gone. Now he's back. According to Vegas, the over-under is 10.5 for the San Francisco 49ers. That's pretty bold considering. That's just going to show you that Vegas thinks that there's a lot of value to Jimmy G. And he's the starting quarterback, but my question to you is, much like we talked about Justin Fields with Andy Dalton, how long do you think this leash is for a guy like Jimmy G? Like, how many games does he have to lose in order for them to say, Trey, get in there, you're the guy, let's get things done?
I think Jimmy G will end up getting hurt before he gets yanked.
Okay.
More likely than not. The guy can't stay healthy. Trey Lance is the guy, obviously, of the future. Jimmy G's a stopgap at this point. It's going to be hard, though, if he doesn't get injured, because if they are winning games and you look at their roster, their offensive line is above average, mm-hmm. clearly. It could be elite. They got two receivers on the outside now with Debo and Ayuk.
Right.
So
don't forget about Mohamed Sanu.
And then they got Kittle.
And Kittle is one of the better tight ends in football.
I'm a big believer in Sermon. I think Trey Sermon's going to be legit.
They got a bunch of running backs over
completely
there.
Completely the opposite back of Mostert. But Mostert's another guy that can't stay healthy. But they're loaded at running back, as usual.
Jermichael Hasty, too.
And Shanahan is more committed to the run than maybe any coach in football.
So except for when he's in the Super Bowl and he needs to run the clock out. He likes to pass a lot.
Yeah, but in
back when he's the offensive coordinator for the Falcons is what I'm saying. That's my late reference to that one. And sorry, folks. Nobody forgets.
The Chiefs,
correct.
San Fran game, they had a lead.
Yeah.
But, the 49ers, I believe their defense is highly above average. Sherman is gone, obviously.
They just added Josh Norman yesterday. So, I mean, I know he's kind of washed, but he's basically Richard Sherman.
Their front seven could wreck games for people. So, just that alone could be an issue for teams. And they're in a tough division, but the 49ers, I said under when we were doing Kyle's show, and it's like it's the one team that I need to see more out of Trey Lance before I could actually give a real prediction. But as is with Jimmy G, as long as he stays healthy, they're just going to play the same game and handle
the ball up. They're Jimmy G. That offense was built around Jimmy G. It just so happens that it could possibly be enhanced with a Trey Lance when you're mobile and you know a little bit more mobile. Look, Jimmy G could run. You know what I mean? Like he's not Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? He's not just sit back there, look, and then see nobody.
I think he needs to not run.
No, of course he's not. Yes, he's not. 49er fans will hold their breath every time he scrambles out the pocket.
I think 49er fans might be on the side of things where they're like, all right, I hope Jimmy G just goes down already. Let's see what Trey's got.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't know if there's any 49er fan out there who's rooting to see Trey Lance first. You gotta find out what you have in Jimmy. You can't just pull the plug on the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. You know?
Well, they pulled the all right.
They didn't though.
They pulled the plug on the Jimmy Garoppolo thing.
When they drafted Trey Lance?
Trey Lance.
I guess.
It's just a matter of until Trey Lance is ready.
Yeah.
That's really all that comes down to.
Potential.
Yeah, Jimmy G is done in San Fran.
Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is four pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest three-pepper blend featuring Fatale, Habanero, and Ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of Ghost and Habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com. Yeah, so you mentioned their offense, really good offensive line. Don't forget about Kyle Juszczyk, too. He's another factor on the offense as well. Their defense, again, definitely above average. Nick Bosa, one of the biggest game wreckers in football right now. On the interior, Javon Kinlaw, one of the younger kids there. Armstead's good. D Ford is still there. So, like, their defensive front is great. Fred Warner, one of the better linebackers in football. So they definitely have some decent players. Jimmy Ward, great safety. Their cornerbacks, again, just adding Josh Norman into the equation, that could be definitely an upgrade. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like not having Richard Sherman and then putting in, no,
he's a good player to get the other best receiver on the other team excited and amped up so he burns you, because Josh Norman, all he does is talk shit.
Correct.
Right? And he gets smoked a lot.
Yeah. So I'm bringing up the San Francisco 49ers schedule. Is this their 75th anniversary this year? Is that what it is? I don't know, but I know that they're going to bring back those jerseys, though. The ones there, those are the cleanest jerseys ever. I think it was like the 3D look to it, where the white with the black and the red, you know, the back in the day when Deion was on the team. And 94, yeah. They're going to bring back those. So anyway, looking at their schedule ahead, they start with Detroit. They should definitely get that done. I'm looking at the right schedule, right? Yeah, just making sure. Detroit and Philly, off the rip. I mean, that could be a nice solid 2-0 start. Until you get to Green Bay, but they're hosting Green Bay. So that, you know, if they're rocking and rolling, that could be a thing. Heading into Green Bay and then Seattle. So two home games in a row after being on the road twice. They do have an early bye. So the bye start in week 6, and they got one of them. So that just means that they're going to be playing a lot of games in a row after their bye. So potentially, right, if you look at the schedule, and you get the Jimmy G 2 wins, and then you see that he might struggle against Green Bay in that front and in that secondary. We'll see. Seattle, they can win that game at home and then, you know, probably beat Arizona as well. So this team could be 4-1 at the bye. And then, like, you start talking about now Jimmy G has to get hurt in order for Trey Lance to come in if you start 4-1, right? You
yeah.
agree?
Yeah. But if you see a spot where they would make the move for no reason, it would be the bye week.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. If they get off reeling, right? If all of a sudden they can't win games against teams like Philly or Seattle, and those are all division games, if they can't rattle off a couple wins, they might be in trouble quick. Yeah. you know? So the schedule doesn't get any easier. After the bye, they got the Colts, and you would assume that the Colts are healthy by then completely. At Chicago, so no easy place to play. They come back and they wrap up their series with the Cardinals by week 9, so they don't have to deal with Kyler Murray right, down the line.
And then around what week do you think we see Jimmy G inserted back in because Trey Lance is struggling?
Probably against a good front. So maybe against maybe Jimmy G is brought back in against the Rams because Trey Lance is just like, I can't do this shit. You know what I mean? There's too many people around. I'm getting smoked. The Jaguars are on the schedule. I'm just trying to think of like the wins. They got the Texans on the schedule. That's nice for them. So the over-under is 10.5, Gooch. So I know that you picked the under, correct, on Kyle's show, but you might be changing your tune here.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first here. And when like I said, they can get off to a 4-1 start guaranteed in my book. Then they'll pick up a game against Jacksonville, one against the Texans. They'll probably pick up a sweep, a game or two with the Bengals and the Falcons. So 6-7-8. Look, I think that this team is built to win now, obviously. You know, they have a young team, but they're built to win now. That defense is serviceable enough. I'm going to give them 11 wins. And I think that's going to be good enough because, I mean, we're just starting with the NFC West. This is definitely, without hands down to me, the best division in football. The best division of football with the powerhouse teams that they have in that division between Seattle, the Rams, and, of course, the Cardinals are on the up and ups, and we'll talk about them in a second. But give the 49ers an 11-6 record for me, in which that might, now this is going to sound crazy, might be able to get into the playoffs with a wild card if they don't win the division. If there's a team that you think is better than these guys, you know, speak now, forever hold your peace. But what do you got them at, Gooch?
I'm still going to go under 10.5.
So a 10-win season?
Yeah, I'll go 10-7, but only because I still look at their division. Like you said, it's just tough.
Even it is.
There's a chance they could drop two to the Rams. And then it just makes it a lot harder to get that 10.5. I don't know. I don't see it.
I'm just going to give the benefit of the doubt because I'm a people pleaser and I want to, you know, make your brother happy. I'll make my boy Greg happy, you know, 49er fans.
I'm looking at it realistically. They have some obvious strengths, but at the end of the day, Jimmy G, I need to see more downfield. They could run the ball all day, but the Rams are going to be a team that's going to be hard to beat twice. Seattle, and like you said, Arizona, I would like to see Arizona's the big thing right now. I think that Arizona has a chance to be bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're about to talk about
it. We're about to talk about them right now. Yeah. But it's funny you should say that because I think that Arizona has the youngest out of all these teams, and I feel like they're going to get better. I don't know.
I don't know much about their offensive line.
That could be a bugaboo. We'll look at it now.
But I'm not sure that it's great, and I'm not a big believer in their head coach.
You don't? Okay, and that's we're talking about
Kingsbury.
Like, yeah, Kyle Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury. Yep, I'm thinking Kyle. Of Kyler Murray. But all right, so we'll segue right in. So 11-6 for me and 10-7 for you for the 49ers as we segue right into the Arizona Cardinals. And remember, this entire 32 teams by 32 days is brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. We hung out with Janine over the weekend. Real excited. She gave us a couple shirts that are in Jimmy's car. Make sure we got to get those. So go see Craig and Janine right now. I know that I was very upset with Nick Schein. He said, he's like, oh, I just bought my first pair of reading glasses. And I was like, if you didn't go to Absolute Eyewear, you're dead to me. And he's like, I went to Krausers. How old are you right now, bro? You definitely like
it's
you're
amazing.
You're one of those guys who just like have the rack and you just spin it a couple of times. Like, which ones look good? You know, like I just like take
4X, 5X, 6X. And it's just like how much times you're gonna see double the size.
Shout out to Nick Schein and his Woodbridge Broncos for getting their first dub. And oh, I'd be remiss, and I forgot all about this. I'd be remiss to shout out all of our Colonia supporters out there because you couldn't get it done against my Woodbridge Barons. So the Barons went 21-14 on Friday. I was in attendance. It was a lot of fun. It was just cool to see everybody back. So I saw a lot of teachers. I might have stepped in shit as far as becoming the new voice of the Barons, maybe. Listen, I'm not gonna knock your PA announcer. It's just a lot of people were like, well, you know, that video that I got commented, I shared the video of them running off the field and you hear the announcer like, the Barons win, you know, and it's just like, there's no energy there, you know, and I didn't know this.
It's one of those things like, I'm not going to knock your PA announcer, but here's the knock. Like, I'm going to, not to be a dick, listen, but I'm about to be a dick.
I'm going to be a dick. I'm better than you and I know it. But anyway, no, but what I was saying is Mr. Ward is actually the athletic director over in Woodbridge and he is actually a member of Chop Sports. I did not know this. And I told somebody, I forget who it was, I said, tell Ward to stop ducking me. And he commented and I was like, huh? It's like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I've been here since the beginning. I was like, holy shit. Like, that's awesome. So we got some Woodbridge representation up in here. But anyway, yes, Absolute Eyewear. Go check them out. Main Street. $100 off if you say the phrase Chop Sports and or Jimmy Palumbo Show, whichever you choose. They'll hook it up no matter what. So the Arizona Cardinals. You're thinking that they could be bad. For me, I think their offense is very, very high powered. Their offensive line, yes. DJ Humphreys is good. Justin Pugh is my boy. Came up on the anniversary of me drinking with him yesterday on the boat with Andrew Adelman of Bada Bean Coffee, who is not a sponsor of the show. Yeah. So go get your Dunkin' Donuts right now.
I was gonna say, shut that down, bro.
Go get your Starbucks. But anyway. So, Kyler Murray coming into another year with more weapons than he had last year. And when I say that, you know, obviously the obvious one of DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk is back, Andy Isabella, Burner, Rondell Moore. But they added A.J. Green. Now, he's not being talked about enough, I don't think. Now, I'm not saying he's completely washed, but he's a little washed. But he's also healthy. Usually, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I mean,
everybody's healthy going into the year.
I need to see that. Is he healthy, though?
I mean, look.
I'm not healthy.
We're both not healthy. I think that Kyler Murray, also, Chase Edmonds, I know he's always been the supplemental back, but now it's like, it's your show now, you know, and it's your job to lose. James Conner is there.
I'm not sure that they have this high-powered offense that everybody's looking at. Like,
I don't know, man.
Kirk is a career underachiever to this point. He's had a couple big
He's got a couple boom or bust games. Yeah, I get it.
You know, A.J. Green is his... If Julio Jones is starting to become washed, as people would say, then A.J.
Green
has
absurd. Been
washed for three seasons at this point. He hasn't done anything for anybody. A.J. Green is the guy that you take in like the 11th round of a draft for the last 4 years and be like, oh, he's going to
come
be
on
the,
later.
He'll be off the pup list, and he's just never there. It doesn't even matter. He was been in Cincinnati, but it's not like Arizona has been this place where people go to thrive. You know, Hopkins is Hopkins. He's going to do his numbers. I think Kyler Murray, because he could run, will be good in fantasy, and their approach to the offensive system is they're just going to air it out. But I need to see more, man. Right. I think Kingsbury is one of these guys that's on the hot seat. Big
time.
So? Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you need? What do you need to see? If you're all right, just say you're the GM of the Cardinals, and you're thinking that he's on the hot seat as is. What do you need to see out of Kingsbury and the Cardinals for him not to lose his job?
I need to see them come out right away and win football games. What's their puller schedule up?
Yeah, I'll do that right now. We haven't really covered their defense, but that's okay.
Yeah. But that's a big part of it. I'm not sure.
JJ Watt is there. I'm a big JJ Watt guy. Chandler Jones, one of the highest paid guys in football. He's good. As far as their cornerbacks, Byron Murphy Jr., I like him. Buda Baker, very good. You know, so their defense is pretty good. Marcus Golden, I like him. Jordan Hicks, he sucks. Zaven Collins should have been a Cowboy, but wasn't because we took Micah Parsons instead. But he's another one that they're highly touted of his skill set. So their defense is pretty good. Now it's just a matter of who they play on the schedule. And that's the hardest part to really decipher. So I bring this up to you guys. It's on the screen right now. But if you're listening into the podcast form, they open up on the road against Tennessee, which is not going to be an easy feat. It's not going to be an easy place to play. The Titans, a high-powered offense, is going to go one-on-one with this decent defense. We're going to get a test right away, I think. In the first, you know, so even if you gave them a loss, they get their home opener against the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings, to me, is that team that's just like, you know, like I'm not sold on them. They're not going to win the division by any stretch. They're not even going to come close to Green Bay. You know what I mean? So
this is 100% a winnable game for Minnesota. This is a coin flip to me.
Oh, okay. And then they get two away games on the road, Jacksonville and then the Rams. So again, these division games early are going to set the tone. So within the first 5 weeks of the season, you got two division games. That's not always the case for a lot of these teams. A lot of these teams, like for instance, again, I bring them up because I know their schedule in the back of my hand. The Cowboys don't see the Washington football team for a long time, you know, so they don't see those guys. But these guys are getting two division games off the rip. Then you got Cleveland. You'll get a win against the Texans at home. The Green Bay Packers come in and play the Cardinals too. That's interesting. You know, their bye comes in week 12. They do have to play the Cowboys in Dallas at the end of the year. So I don't know where the NFC standings will be at that point. They do pick up Detroit. Detroit, according to the Chop Sports podcast, will not win a game this year. You know what I mean? So that's a win. So, again, if you're looking at this schedule, the over-under, Gooch, is 8.5. So find me 9 wins to punch the over.
So
I don't know.
So are they're saying – that this division is going to have, if they get an over across the board, or at least a push across the board.
So the last place team will probably finish with 9 wins.
Yeah, so they're saying every team in the
over 500
is a playoff team.
Yeah. Or no, at least put no, in
I
contention.
I just don't see it. It can't be that. Looking at the Tennessee game, that's a hard game right off the rip.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville is the only guaranteed win that I see going. All right, Jacksonville and
the Texans in week 7.
The Texans are the only guaranteed wins that I see on this schedule going into the week 12 bye.
Wow.
You know, they have a so tough schedule. So
2-10 at possibility?
No, I mean, they could win some of these games as well, but you're looking at the Rams, Cleveland, San Fran, Green Bay, San Fran.
Yeah.
Now, Carolina, I think that's another one that they could potentially win mm-hmm. outright easily. Who knows what Carolina is going to be like with Darnold, but yeah, then Seattle, then bye week. Their schedule is really, really hard. They came out firing last year early, and they got off to a strong start right off the rip. I remember watching that team and being like, wow, this team is really going to be good. And then they just shit the bed from like week 4 or 5 on.
Right.
I think they were 3-0 maybe.
Or possibly.
And then they were 3-3.
Before you knew it. Blink of an eye.
So Kingsbury needs to step his game up this year. Their defense, as I was just reading, mm-hmm. they're definitely ranked middle of the pack. So they could go either way. They could make a leap or they could take a step back. And one of these other teams that you expect to make a leap might. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not a believer in their head coach.
As much as I think they're on the rise, after looking at the schedule, I think it's going to be a little bit more tough sledding than I thought.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the under.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the under, and I'm gonna go 7-10 for the Arizona Cardinals. And that's being, I don't know if that's being generous, but that's giving them a couple wins that they probably pull out of their ass. You know what I mean? Like this, it's gonna be difficult.
Yeah, because I think Kyler Murray is a gamer. He's a legit quarterback. Yeah. I think he's the difference maker on this team. DeAndre Hopkins is legit, but I'm not a big believer in either of their running backs. At this point, was it Chase
James
Edmonds?
Connor and Chase Edmonds?
Yeah, I mean, Connor has had success in Pittsburgh, but for the last two,
I'm surprised they let him walk so easily.
I mean,
he's injured, but
the reason
like,
why you let a guy walk so easily is because you understand what's going on with him. I don't think there was a reason for them to bring him back because of obviously they have a
Najee Harris is now the guy. Yeah.
So there's no reason for it. But yeah,
just saying.
I think Connor's best days are behind him. He wasn't really that great to begin with, but
yeah,
ran
so
hard.
So where you got him?
7-10.
All right, so
I hate
with
to
me.
Agree. Like I try to like at least go.
Yeah, no,
off
I
the,
get it. But know, I mean, 7-10 just bit, because of the fact that Kyler Murray is a gamer and that could be a potential thing. And it looks like you know one of our watchers right now, Scoop Espo, is also saying 7-10.
I don't think 7-10 is good enough to keep his job. Maybe through the season, it might. Depending on where those losses fall.
Right. So, like, but at the very end, if they drop it out of their ass at the
end.
Yeah,
like, I think that he's a prime candidate to be gone after this season. If not.
I don't know, man. I feel like they're building that offense around him, like, catered for Kingsbury. He's an offensive-minded coach, so, like, they're building this offense.
But what are they? I mean, that's what happens. But if you don't have success, how many years do you get?
I don't know. Ask Jason Garrett. Ask Mike McCarthy.
What year is he going into? I think he drafted
third?
Kyler Murray with his
maybe third year
when they hired him. So if he's in his third year, if they don't put it together in 3 years, then what do you want? You know, do you want to give the guy a fucking decade?
They gave John Gruden the decade in Las Vegas,
but he's got a Super Bowl ring somewhere else. So you understand? Well, with against them too, but you understand what I'm getting at, though, right?
Yeah, like, no, I get
in
it.
This modern day of the NFL, you're not going to get 4 years, 5 years to let it to see if it works out. It's got to work.
Right.
3 years is plenty.
Right.
If it's not working, it's time to go.
All right. So Gooch not only has him at 7-10, but a potential new head coaching vacancy opens up in the end of the at the end of the year. So like we said, guys, tomorrow, big day tomorrow, Chop Sports, because not only are we covering the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams, tomorrow night is our 16 team drafts here at the studio. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, boy, I hope not a lot of people show up, but I do encourage it. So it's going to be fun. We got the couch, we got the chairs, we got the main room, the common room, we got another office. So there's room for you. Come on by if you want. This draft is going to start 7:00, so be here, 6:30. Don't come any earlier than that. I actually got to talk to the acupuncturist, make sure she doesn't have any clients coming in late because that'll just be a mess. But we do encourage you guys to come. It'll be a fun time. Bring your best favorite six pack. Drink some beers, draft some teams. So the network, as far as a programming note, everybody will be back today, obviously, you got us. Tomorrow, hopefully, Squeaky Bum Time Podcast. I'll talk to Salerno and those guys, make sure they're recording. Jimmy Palumbo will be here to record his first show post Artie Lang. So I don't think there's any guests. He's going to recap the Rutgers game and talk a whole bunch of shit there. And then, obviously, tune in on Wednesday. You got Big Time Wednesdays. You got the Fantasy Guy podcast. You got my podcast, All About the Star. You also have the Jets that drop on Wednesdays. They'll probably give their season predictions as well. So a lot of big things happening tomorrow and Tuesday this week. Thursday is the day. The NFL is back officially. I'll be sweating my ass off the entire day. Probably not be able to eat. I did challenge myself this week. I'm doing a 5 pounds by Friday. That's my little goal. I'm going to drop 5 pounds by Friday. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm just trying. It's like I'm cutting weight for a UFC fight or something like that. I'm trying something. I'm trying something new. I'm just not going to try to eat.
I was immediately trying to think of just like little things that you could do.
I mean, there's a sauna. Like, yeah, I could sit in a sauna every day.
Like, keep your normal routine and just do one or two things different.
Yeah, I mean, I've dropped that kind of weight in that kind of span. It's not hard because I want to be, a little healthier. And by Friday, I'll be 36 years old, man.
I'm a complete piece of shit right now.
Well,
I feel like I'm dying from sun poisoning and just everything else is coming down on top of me at the same time due to sun poisoning and just,
So the Chop Heads MMA. Hey, listen.
Yeah, I'm waiting on
Tommy. Hey, listen, if you don't hear from Tommy D.
No, Tommy actually just texted me.
Your boy will fill in and we'll get something
Tommy
done today.
Tommy just texted me.
No, wonderful. Is he coming today? As we do this live on the air?
He said he's coming up, but not now.
Of course. So
no, that's on me. I don't want to do it right now. I got to record Jimmy. I'm not doing fucking 3 hours back to back to back of podcast. Okay.
All right. We'll feel better. Feel better. We'll get some food in our system. But we want to thank you guys for listening and watching on this Labor Day. We appreciate you guys. Of course, things are going to be picked up a little bit. What you see here, your visual presentation, that's going to get a little kick in the ass too. We also are going to stream some of the draft tomorrow night. So that'll be fun, as well as Football Sunday is here. Kyle, the sauce, my guy, please, for the love of God, call Gooch and get over to the studio at some point this week so we can set up the rest of these TVs and get everything set for Sunday football Sunday. So, yeah, I know. Tommy's a dick, Scoob. I'm sorry. I heard that you came to the studio and he was not here and they were not here. And that's just a bad look on our part. And I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I know those guys won't give a shit, but I do. I'm sorry.
I just blame Tommy for everything.
Just blame Tommy. You got to do.
It's, if he's the reason why we can't show up, then he's got to be the reason why Scoop got dicked
with it,
right?
I'm with it.
Although I did own it and said I should have, I should have texted Scoop.
Yeah, but you had like legitimate fevers going on.
Yeah, I was fucked up yesterday. Yeah. And I had two fantasy drafts and I was fucked up.
Yeah, I took yesterday as basically a recovery to detox day where I drank. I'm such a degenerate. I mean, I'm not, but I am. I did my little airplane bottle of Tito's while I was watching Wilbur's game. Like, I didn't need that, but I was just like, it's been a long week. I took the edge off, went to Big Shots for a beer, and that was that. But then the savagery in the tailgate alone on Saturday was just like, we bought a 30, and there was like four left when we left that place. So, and the tall boys, my God. I just looked at my credit card statement. What did I do? Well, one pretzel, right, to weather me, right, and two beers for me and you. And it was like $31. Well, since when did Rutgers become the NFL? That's terrible. Terrible. But
yeah, that was a rough day.
In any event. First, Sturch and Gooch. And, of course, AJ from, it's just routine to say it. I'm looking over there, and there's nobody there. He's not kicking his feet. He's not drinking his stupid green drink. He's not here. So he'll be back tomorrow. But thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. Here we go.
Kyle, hit me the fuck up. Seriously, I'll hit you up. And Jimmy will be here in like 2 hours.